It is a crossover between Locked On Big 12 and Locked On Pac 12. It's the showdown everybody's been waiting for. I'm Josh Neighbors of Locked On Big 12. Joining us today for the first time is Spencer McLaughlin over from Locked On Pac 12. Spencer, this is going to be as amicable as we can make it. That's really the goal here, right? Everybody, I'm not sure about your comment sections and whatnot. They've been really, really aggressive towards your lot in the Pac 12. I'm sure it's been the same way for you all.
You know, not as much. Every now and then someone chimes in and says something to the effect of, you know, oh, I don't like this conference, or screw this team, or screw that one, or the conference, or yada, yada. But overall, I think the Pac-12 is not in as powerful of a position as the Big 12 as we will get to. And so the fans are more in the mindset, I think, appropriately of how can we just stay alive? Can we just ride it out? But no one's asking that about the Big 12, but it's great to be on with you, Josh. And hello, everybody out there.
Yeah. So I'll say this, like, I don't enjoy having this conversation. I've said this a bunch. I've talked about it ad nauseum. Like this, what has transpired over the last month or so, and really over the last year and a half or so with everything going on with conference realignment, has really gotten very far away from the sports that we love, from college football, from college basketball. Now, a lot of us obviously center around college football, but you know, we're seeing this on Twitter, and you go into any comment section after a John Wilner tweet or a John Canzano tweet or a 365 tweet or whatever, it's people bickering back and forth about whose conference has more value, who deserves survival, who doesn't. And really, like, think about it from general terms. That sucks, because both of our conferences have now gone through this, right? The Big 12 had the existential dread last summer with OU and Texas leaving, and the Pac-12 is now going through it right now. Like, all of you out there who are fans of Oregon State or Kansas State or Iowa State or Washington State, like, your football should matter, and you all should not be in jeopardy of losing your, you know, FBS status because of business. Now, business runs the world, sure. But like chasing extra, like, we're all making enough money here. We're just all chasing more money now. And that has forced us to, you know, maybe cut back on how many FBS teams there will be, which sucks and should not be the conversation that we're having.
Well, I assume when you say we're all making enough money, you're referring to the colleges and universities, because me as a young broadcaster, I'll just go out on a limb and say I'm not personally.
You and I are not making enough money. You and I are in the same boat. I think you and I are probably around the same age doing the same exact things.
Yeah.
So you and I are not. The schools and the institutions, the athletic departments are making money hand over fist.
Yeah, you know, the first thing that I said when I heard USC and UCLA were leaving is like, oh, well, that's clearly chasing a dollar figure. And then my next thought was, in what universe is USC short on funds?
Right.
Like, in what world is money the problem here? Right. I mean, you and I were talking about golf just before we came on here and started recording. I'm a big golf fan. And look, I understand, though, I wish guys wouldn't leave the PGA Tour to go over to LIV, but they're going there because they can make way more money. And I mean, when you just say, oh, well, you know, they're getting more money, like, oh, okay, yeah, it makes sense. But then you look at what these guys are worth and how much they've made in their careers, and I just ask a question, like, what do you need? Like, is you going to live over there, Dustin Johnson, the difference in your kids being able to afford college for your kids and not? I'm gonna go with a no on that one. But it's the same sort of mindset here, that when there's more money on the table, colleges and athletic departments are going to leap at that opportunity basically every time. And that's the disappointing part about it. I think for the schools you mentioned, the Pac-12, the ones that are literally, I mean, literally not in a single tweet, suggestion, report ever mentioned, are Washington State and Oregon State. They could get hit the hardest here. I don't know if Stanford and Cal are in great spots, though there was a report last week that said they were being evaluated internally by the Big Ten, not ongoing conversations.
I think Gene Smith might have said that, the Ohio State AD, who's not afraid to say a lot of stuff that is not always necessarily like true, but he put it out there, and he's a pretty powerful guy.
Yeah, I don't think I read it from him. I read it from, oh gosh, I don't even remember. I think it might have been Dennis Dodd of CBS yes. Sports, but yes. There's been so many reports and everybody flying around and whatnot. But again, language is very important here. That's being evaluated by not having ongoing conversations with. Those are two very different things because one is a one-way street, one's a two-way street. But those teams you mentioned, Oregon State, Washington State, they're not getting mentioned in any of this. I don't think they would drop down to the FCS level, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think schools that could get left out of realignment would be relegated down to play FCS football where they're playing, you know, in the Big Sky or something, or the WAC or wherever it would be. I think you would just see them move down to away from the Power Five level. And again, I'm with you that sucks. I mean, the idea of that happening straight up sucks. If you're a Washington State or an Oregon State fan who have had some really good seasons, but it's obviously a lot harder to win at those sorts of schools because of their geographical location and just program history as well. And they've never been elite recruiting powers, but you know, college football is somewhat like Major League Baseball in a sense, in that it's a regional product first, right? Mm-hmm. For a lot of fans, not all fans, because the fans of the big teams, big brands in baseball, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Astros, you know, whoever else is really good in a given year, are looking at things in a national level. But for a lot of teams, I'm wearing a Seattle Mariners shirt right now, go M's, baby. Mm-hmm. It's a regional thing first. We want to get to a wild card game first, because the Mariners haven't been in the playoffs literally in my entire lifetime that I can remember. But we have to beat our division opponents first. And that's the way that a lot of these teams look at it. It's the way I consume college football. Like, I want to beat Pac-12 teams first, and I want to win rivalry games, and then I want to win at the national level. But if we don't win at the national level, and I'm an Oregon guy, I grew up in the Portland area. Like, if we're not going to get into the college football playoff, like they clearly weren't last year after I lost to Utah, like my priorities then shift to, okay, beat Washington, beat Oregon State, and that's still, you know, a solid, fun season. But as you start to move into this nationalization of college football, that regionality is getting lost from it. And I think that sucks for the small schools who get left out of these conversations, but also for the fans who, you know, are accustomed to the tradition and right. The history and the matchups that have always been there and could very easily go away quite soon.
Yeah, and I just want to clarify on the Stanford and Cal point. Yes, it was Dennis Dodd's reporting. Both yep. Kevin Warren and Gene Smith were asked about that.
Yes.
And both played pretty coy about it as well on that. Well, you know, Gene Smith entertained it, I believe, on his radio show, the radio hit he always does in Columbus. And then obviously Kevin Warren's like, we're only worried about the schools that we have. But you know how that always goes. You know, you brought up a really interesting point with obviously you being an Oregon fan. I think it makes you a really good person to ask about this. To me, one of the issues that the Pac-12 is facing is that Oregon and Washington, I'm sure you're familiar with this. Andy Staples wrote the article. It was like a wheel of 24, the 24 schools that bring value television wise, and Washington and Oregon are on that list, right? Because they're on that list, I don't see them personally sticking around too long in the Pac-12. I know they want to make that happen, but I mean, why wouldn't the Big Ten or, you know, maybe the ACC at some point in time come along and offer them and what would ostensibly be more money? I mean, they to me seem like the two big Jenga blocks in all of this. And if I'm Oregon and Washington, I mean, you know, I'm not signing up for a long-term deal with the Pac-12. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't see how you can. And what's fascinating from a media rights perspective right now is the Pac-12 is about to begin the process of negotiating a new media rights deal.
They're in it right now, right? The exclusive rights.
Yeah, it's ongoing. But I think the timeline is going to be like everything I expect to soften here for a little bit until the Big Ten negotiates that media rights deal and the terms are fully laid out. Because what that'll allow Kliavkov to do is understand where the market is at, where he could go to network executives. And it will also give him some time to do what he said he would at Pac-12 Media Days, and that's pursue aggressively expansion opportunities where he could go. There's a lot of different options there. I've talked about it a lot on Locked On Pac-12. You can go check out the episodes there. There's only about 50 different possible combinations of teams you could look to try and add. Do you add two? Do you add four? Do you try to go to Texas? Do you stay West Coast oriented? Like, there's a lot of different ways that he could go with that. I don't know how you can go into a meeting with network executives talking about the potential of your conference to bring in money and have them be worth a certain dollar amount that they will pay if you don't know everybody that's going to be in your conference come 2024. So I don't know how you can have that negotiation before you announce or at least pursue and have a close relationship with teams that might become expansion teams in the Pac-12. But I think the Big Ten will, you know, kind of set the market. And obviously, it's way more valuable than the Pac-12, especially without the LA market with USC and UCLA gone. And to your original question about, you know, would Oregon leave? Yeah, they probably would. I don't want them to.
Right. I don't
want any of that to happen. I understand why they would. Right. I understand why they'd go to the Big Ten. But frankly, even without USC and UCLA, I'd be fine as an Oregon fan staying in the Pac-12. I know other teams would as well, or at least other fans of teams. I don't know if schools would actually be OK with that because of the money that they're leaving on the table there. But it's something that would be really hard for Oregon to turn away from. And Phil Knight has said that, or reports have said that Phil Knight has said, and it hasn't been Knight, so we can safely assume it's true, and you understand why, that Phil Knight wants Oregon to be in the Big Ten long term, or maybe the SEC, which is not a major option right now, but that's just kind of where his mindset is at.
Right.
And so if that's where he is, and he, of course, has such a tremendous amount of influence surrounding the Oregon football program, then what you have then is a bar that is set up here, and the Pac-12 is here, and the Big 12 is probably here, right? Big 10 SEC here, Big 12 here, Pac-12 here. But if you're shooting for here, your fallback is going to be here, not down here, as I mimic Billy Bean in that wonderful scene.
And there's 50 feet of crap, body. Right?
Yeah. And it's like you got the...
Right, you go. Yeah. Go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, it's like you got the Big Ten and the SEC,
and then
there's the Big 12, and then there's 50 feet of crap.
Right, then there's
and then there's the Pac-12.
Well, like that's, I want to give you credit here. I want to give you credit here because some of the Pac-12, you know, some of the Big 12 folks are very vocal bunch, and I love them all. They've been very good. Guys, just appreciate Spencer here. He's being very honest about the situation, about this. And Oregon's really interesting because so I've actually gotten the chance in one of my other jobs working at SiriusXM as a producer. I've actually worked a bunch on Pac-12 radio, and really a lot of the sentiment I've been getting is that, all right, they want to win for Phil. Like, they want to win a national championship for Phil Knight because, you know, he's getting up there. He's getting old.
Yep.
And they're in a position now, especially with NIL, with some of the stuff that we've been hearing about. I mean, Oregon is absolutely on fire when it comes to this. Like, the time is now. And that's got to be part of the calculus in this, right? I mean, it's not like going to the Big Ten would be some short-sighted move that would cost them. And, you know, George Kliavkov said it was a short-sighted move in USC and UCLA's case. It's not. It helps you long-term. But, like, I think there is some short-term thinking at Oregon that could propel them faster if offered.
Okay. Two things I'll respond to there. First, the USC and UCLA thing. I don't completely disagree with Kliavkov that
really?
It's a short-sighted move for USC and UCLA. And here's why. If you're USC, you just hired Lincoln Riley. What did you hire him to do? Win a national championship, or at the very least, get you in the short term back into the college football playoff discussion. As of right now, and this, you know, this point may slightly go out the window if you go back to, or if they majorly expand the playoff, but that move appears to be on hold for now. So if you're USC and you're trying to get back to the college football playoff, what we've seen so far is that two lost teams are not getting in. You have to right. be a one-loss team. Where do you have an easier time
Agreed.
Picking up just one loss or fewer in a given season? That's in the Pac-12, right? And the Pac-12, certainly a weaker conference, no doubt about that. But it still clearly has enough respect to where if you're a one-loss team with a good win on there, you can be in the college football playoff discussion. We saw that with Oregon last year. They go on the road. They upset Ohio State. They lose to a crappy Stanford team on the road in what was just a weird game down the stretch. They didn't have their offense coordinator, but still not a game that should have been close. But even after that loss, going into those games at Utah twice in 3 weeks, once in the Pac-12 championship game, Oregon controlled its own path to get into the college football playoff. So if you're looking at USC, I've interacted with plenty of Trojan fans online, and they are very excited and optimistic about what Lincoln Riley is going to be able to do. I think they should be. But the path to getting to the playoff in the Pac-12 is so much easier than it is in the Big Ten, not just with the number of good teams you have up at the top. And by the way, for UCLA, I think football-wise, it could be really tough. I mean, they've struggled to win consistently in the Pac-12. When you go to the Big Ten, newsflash, it's going to be a tough time. Basketball, they'll be okay. as long as Mick Cronin's there, I don't see him going anywhere.
That stadium for football for them, I mean, they might be playing road. They might be like the Chargers. I mean, I think there's a chance they're playing road games.
Oh, 100%. That's a great comp.
I mean, it's going to be like the Chargers because, like, guess what? If you live in Iowa, oh, hell yeah, I'll go to Los Angeles for a weekend, right? Let's go see the
Let's spend a weekend
in
California.
You imagine Ohio State, Iowa, Penn State. I mean, when all those schools play there, it is going to be like a road game for them. Yeah. But this move for them is not, I mean, it's not about success. I think to your USC point, I think for them, actually for Lincoln Riley more specifically, like long-term as a program, this is going to help them. They'll get more money, all that kind of stuff. Like it, you know, I think they'll be fine. Short-term, I've made this observation. The one thing that's going to follow him around is the defense. Like their offense should be able to just score on people as long as he's there and they're getting the kind of guys they do. And actually in their big games, think about the, you know, the games they played, they scored pretty well. Save the Jalen Hurts game against LSU. They really didn't score that well, but like their defense is the problem. They couldn't stop Bama. They couldn't stop LSU. They couldn't stop Georgia. That is their problem. So to me, I think for them, no matter where they were, Pac-12 or Big Ten, they were always going to run. They're always going to run into somebody eventually that's got the big guys up front, especially on the, you know, either on the offensive line or, you know, on the defense, whatever it is, that would cost them. So I think that's more of a Lincoln Riley specific problem. Getting to a playoff, sure, maybe it does stop them. But, like, there's a brick wall for them beating those really good teams. And that's going to be in both places until they get the personnel to fix that. So that's why, to me, it's like, I really don't think it matters for them short-term, long-term. Yes, a CFP ostensibly is a bit tougher, but still rubber meets the road when you play the elite teams for them because they're not Clemson. They don't have those dudes up front like a Clemson can. You know, Clemson's a good version of an out of SEC school. Or Ohio State, right? Out of SEC schools that have the SEC caliber guys in the places that it matter. So that's why, for me, that's why I didn't necessarily agree with what Kliavkov said. And also, when we get that check, that comment's not going to look very good. I mean, when we see that number, it's going to be around 100 million. I can't.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like, yes, it is. And they're going to get more money. But again, I will go back to, is money the reason that USC fell down as a football program? To me, that answer is unequivocally no. Correct. That is not why. They didn't have the coaching right, and now they do. And they were going to be the team. You know, they were, I compare them on one of my shows to Anakin Skywalker. They were going to bring balance to the force and restore West Coast football. And instead, they have gone to the dark side and left it in darkness, right? I mean, it is just a complete 180 there in that sense. But that was going to be, in my view, enough for USC to be back in the college football playoff discussion, because you have Utah there, you have Oregon there, and then if you can get a couple other good teams, right, overall your competition is weaker, but it's still strong enough to keep you in the conversation nationally. So I think they needed to go to the Big Ten to get more money. I don't think they needed to go to the Big Ten to win a national championship. Right. The recruiting formula is going to be the same. You have a bunch of talent in your backyard. You go out and recruit them. And to your point, it will be a question of whether or not their defense doesn't need to be good, but it needs to be competent. It needs to be good enough to where the offense can just kind of take over, because you know they'll be able to bring in big time recruits, as they already have and will continue to do, you know, with the transfer portal and at the high school ranks. And they'll be able to score plenty of points there. But from a football standpoint, your path is just so much tougher in the Big Ten, not just with the number of elite teams you have at the top, right? You got Ohio State, you've got Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State right there. Like, it's a deeper, stronger conference.
I think they can clear that hurdle, though. I think it's not as big of a hurdle as we think.
But
right?
it's so much tougher than what you'd have to do in the Pac-12. It's not that they're not capable of winning those sorts of games, right, but it is tough when you can't have more than one loss in a given season. Right. I mean, that's the model we've seen so far with a 4-team college football playoff. You can only have one. You cannot have two or three. And it just gets tougher. And you have to think about upsets, too, because teams get upset. I know it's hard for people to conceptualize sometimes, but, you know, I'm about to start next week going through schedule breakdowns, and I pick some upsets in the Pac-12. And I think USC will lose a game or two that maybe they shouldn't. And I'm sure people will go bananas for that. But what team every year outside of Alabama, Georgia, and Clemson, up until this past year, of course, when they did lose games that they should have won, and even Clemson has lost games that they should have won in the past. They lost to Syracuse. They've lost to Pitt before. Like, they're better than that. You have to be able to year in and year out avoid multiple or really just one upset, because you're not going to go through a Big Ten schedule and beat every good team, right? Yeah, if you have a season,
especially
where you're
with
playing,
their travel is going to be, it's not going to be as, you know.
Yeah. It'll be a little bit tougher in that sense as well. But think about a given Big Ten schedule for USC. In one season, you could play three of these four teams: Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and
Iowa, Wisconsin.
Yeah. Okay. But that was my next point, right? You have those top teams at the top: Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, right? Let's say you play two or three of them. Are you going to win all of those? Probably not, because those are really good teams too.
Right.
But then it's the next level of teams where you have to avoid the upsets against.
Yeah.
Would you rather try and avoid a stumble loss in a given year against Washington State, Cal, Oregon State, and ASU? Or would you rather do it against Iowa, Iowa State, Minnesota, and, you know, maybe like Illinois or Nebraska or somebody who's, you know, capable of being.
I'll take Illinois and Nebraska, but no, I think you're right. The second tier of the middle class of the Big
is
Ten
is so much stronger.
So much stronger.
If you took any of those teams, and Wisconsin, sorry, that's the team that I was trying to think of, and then I came up with Illinois. But like that's the thing that's so interesting to me that doesn't get talked about a ton, is like you have to go 11-1 and then win your conference championship game. But how much harder is your schedule over there in the Big Ten than it is in the Big 12, which is why I tend to agree, at least in part, with Kliavkov's statement about like this is a short-sighted view. I think it is. And then on the other side for UCLA, look, even with Chip Kelly there, I have a personal affinity for Chip. I've always rooted for him. I always will, because he is part of the reason that I grew to love college football the way that I do now. But can UCLA be a consistent winning team in the Big Ten when they haven't been that in the Pac-12? They got to one Pac. They've been to one Pac-12 championship game. They've been to one. And do you know how they got in, Josh?
And they were USC, 6-6, right? Weren't they like?
Yeah,
six,
USC was like, on probation.
Yeah, that was even like, I think they played. There was a Friday night game. I think they played Oregon. And
The first game was at Autzen Stadium. Then they moved it down to Levi's. Now they've moved it to Las Vegas, which is a massive, massive upgrade.
That.
There,
I love that.
So I just think that it's going to be really difficult for both of them. I think basketball, they'll have a chance to be more competitive, but, you know, football is what drives the bus here in all these realignment moves. And I think that it's going to be a much tougher path. If the playoff gets expanded, then it will look better, right? That is a total disclaimer on everything that I've said here. If they go to a 12-team playoff, then you can have two losses, especially in a loaded Big Ten, and still get into the top 12. Not going to argue with that at all. But if it stays at four for the next, I think that deal expires in like 2026.
It's 2025, I think is what it is.
2025. So if that deal does go away and they expand the playoff, then it could work out better for them. But if that somehow gets renewed, and I pray it does, I'm not a playoff expansion guy. I think four is a perfectly good number there.
You're bad at something for your conference, man. You need to have more teams in there for the sake of
that's
the conference.
Not solving the problem. I'll answer that here in a moment if you want. But
access is the problem. But
if it goes to 12, then they could do it. But if it somehow stays at four, and I hope and pray it does, then that path to the playoff is really, really tough.
Yeah, it is. Let's get a quick word from our sponsors here. We'll talk about some more Big 12, Pac-12 related things. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to built.com today. It's built.com. Promo code LOCKED15. They've got new Built Puffs, cookie dough chunk puffs. Have you tried them yet?
Dude, they're so good.
They're delicious.
Oh my gosh.
This is not one of those things, guys, where like you're like, oh, I love product X. Like, no, they send these things to us and they're gone within 2 days. John Williams, Locked On Sooners, continually, he purchases them. He buys them like every other week.
Oh, I buy them too.
Yeah.
I buy them too. Like they send some and then I buy them as well because they're so good. And they're so loaded with protein too, that I prefer them to a granola bar if I'm on the golf course and I'm a huge, huge golfer to keep me going out there.
160 in the calories department, 15 grams of protein. You can have it like on the golf course, like you mentioned. If you want to have it after dinner, dessert, you're fine. You can have it actually after a workout, you're fine too. Like it's multi-purpose. Once again, promo code LOCK15. LOCKED15 LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. I want to ask you about the specific comments George Kliavkov made about the Big 12.
Yeah.
Did they accomplish anything? Did calling out the Big 12 and saying things like, we haven't decided if we're going shopping there yet, and talking about, you know, dodging grenades from the Big 12 using, you know, war terms, and talking about shopping. And I mean, pretty direct comments. Did they have a positive impact? Did they really do anything? Do they have the effect besides the fact that people are just like, the Pac-12 commissioner's fired up, this might be a fight?
Not tangibly, no. I think the biggest impact is what you just alluded to, which is he came out and had a very clear tone from the moment he started making his remarks. And that was that he's not going to back down, right? He's trying to go on the offensive. That was, yeah, of course. He's the commissioner of the Pac-12. It's his job to try and keep this potentially sinking ship together. And he's got a really tough job, and it is mostly not his fault here. This is just, you know, the culmination of things that have happened over the past decade. He took a shot at the previous commissioner, Larry Scott, as well, justifiably so, because he did not do a good job. Yeah, he was terrible. And the media rights deal he negotiated was awful. And the sticking points he had were really dumb. Anyway, we don't need to relive the past because we're trying to focus on the future, which is what Kliavkov is doing. He's coming out and making it clear that he's not going to just roll over, and he's trying to project a position of strength, even though the Pac-12 is not in that right now. The grenades comment was him admitting that the Big 12 has reached out to member institutions of the current Pac-10 that remain to try and poach them. They haven't, of course, worked anything out at this point in time as we record this. And I say that just because everything can change so quickly. Like, I remember when the news that USC and UCLA were leaving dropped, it had been approved by the conference and the schools in like 36 hours. I mean, it was so fast. And that's what makes part of this all so fascinating. But, you know, Kliavkov is going to fight for the Pac-12. And what he's trying to do is, for the first time, I think, put the Pac-12 at least mentally in a position of attack, a mindset of, let's be aggressive, let's go out and make a move and do something positive, rather than just sitting back, having all these gut punches come our way, right? Instead of just kind of, you know, haphazardly throwing up his guard hands, he wants to start throwing jabs and punches. And that's kind of what I took away from his comments there. Did it change the underlying situation? Not necessarily. No. I mean, I don't know how athletic directors and conference presidents in the Pac-12 reacted to it, but I just saw it and thought, all right, this guy really means business here. And he's also really ticked off about how everything is playing out, and understandably so. I read something about how he was not notified by USC and UCLA they were leaving. He read about it like you and I did, basically.
Right. That's kind of how things work, though.
Yeah. And that would rub me the wrong way as well. And so I'm curious to see what his next move will be. I think it has to be on the expansion front. I don't think you can do the media rights deal or try to find a streaming partner before you know all the teams that are involved in the potential media markets that you could be able to pitch to them. But, you know, as someone who wants to see the Pac-10 stay together and become the Pac-12 or maybe 14 again, who knows? I like seeing that. But now it's about, okay, you talk the talk, but now you got to walk the walk and show me what actions you can take to keep the Pac-12 going.
Yeah, it was interesting. He said no Pac-12 schools are going to join the Big 12, which I thought was interesting that he said that.
Well, he doesn't have control over that.
Right, exactly.
Control is the right word. But if I had said influence, that would have been the wrong word.
Yeah.
He has influence, but not control. I think that's where he's at with his, in terms of the relationship between the conference and the remaining Pac-10 schools, many of whom have been tied at one point or another to, you know, realignment rumors.
I think too, what was interesting, is that, look, like, I wonder how much blame people in the Pac-12 think fall on his shoulders. I know people, I've heard some excuses made for him, but let's be honest. He is the one who was involved in the gentleman's agreement, right? The alliance that was between the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12. And there, you know, college football playoff expansion, I know you're not for it, but let's be honest, automatic qualifier system was up for grabs. And those three schools combined together, three conferences combined together to shoot it down. And then a school that you were in an alliance with went and took two of your schools. I mean, that is 110% to me on his shoulders. I know it might have been inevitable, but you were in agreement with this conference and you made a move that did hurt your league in terms of access to a CFP. And then they took two of you, you know, they took your schools and your biggest market. So how much blame do you think he gets? I mean, once again, there might've been some inevitability there, but how much blame do you think Kliavkov gets?
I can't put a ton on him. Okay. I think the one area where they could have, or in retrospect should have acted, was when Oklahoma and Texas left the Big 12. They should have gone, as he said last weekend, shopping in the Big 12 to try to see who wanted to come out to the Pac-12. And, you know, there were speculative reports about, you know, could they, you know, go for like Oklahoma State, TCU, Baylor, like, you know, those sorts of teams. And if you had them coming your way, USC and UCLA, yeah, they still probably leave. But does the Pac-12 feel like it's teetering on just imploding altogether? I think the answer is no. If you had two respectable brands coming over from the Big 12, I think that's the one move he could have made. But they were looking into it, and you can take away from this what you will. But I read a piece recently in the LA Times talking about how last year the Pac-12 was weighing expansion opportunities, and they met with conference presidents and were discussing the potential of, like, we might want to add these schools, or should we look over here. And the school, again, according to the report in the LA Times, I'm not reporting this, I'm not a journalist, I'm just a talking head into a show here on YouTube and podcast. The LA Times piece said that the person who was on the forefront trying to, or not trying to, but successfully shutting down the need for expansion was USC's president. And so I think what Kliavkov kind of fell into here is, I think he was a little overly optimistic about the cordiality of college football and how, you know, conferences could really work together and teams, you know, wouldn't just bolt without giving fair advanced warning and whatnot. I think he had too optimistic of a view in that sense. And I understand where he's coming from, because I wish it were like that, right? I wish it was a little bit more. Yeah, I wish it wasn't so, we don't care what happens to your conference. We want our teams and, you know, forget you and whatever happens. That's not my problem and go figure it out. That's your deal, right? But I think that has, in a way, come back to bite him, because if USC was in there leading the charge, then maybe he was thinking that, and he was probably told that, you know, no one would ever leave the Pac-12 and they're not doing this and that. And so at the time, it didn't seem like the Pac-12 needed to expand. But hindsight is 20/20, because at the time, I don't think the Pac-12 did need to expand, right? It was big news that Oklahoma and Texas were leaving the Big 12. But you looked at the Pac-12 and you thought the same things that we were thinking a couple months ago coming into this year, which is, all right, you need to get USC back up on the bike. You need to have a respectable team that is top 25 caliber after Oregon and Utah. And if you've got four of your 12 teams that are, you know, ranging from the top 10 to the edge of the top 25, and then maybe one more good one in there, then you're in a place where the conference is respectable again, right? Get Stanford or Washington back up to where they can be, and then see a team like ASU, or although ASU has fallen way, way down in recruiting right now, they're an absolute mess, but see a team like Washington State pop, or Oregon State is on the rise in the conference a little bit. They've been building something really solid with Jonathan Smith over there and could be poised for what I think might be an 8-win season this year. But like, those were the conversations we were having just a couple of months ago, and then everyone was just blindsided by USC and UCLA. So in retrospect, yeah, could you have made that move? Sure. But would it have been enough to, you know, get USC and UCLA to stick around? I think the answer is no, because they clearly weren't telling people that they were thinking about doing it. They just did it, right? I mean, this thing was kept under wraps and without leaks or reports or rumors or anything. It was just one day we saw a report drop from Dennis Dodd. He said, yeah, USC and UCLA are probably going to leave for the Big Ten. No one had been talking about that.
Right.
Right. I'm sure you had some loose speculation on some shows somewhere in some corner of the internet, wherever, here and there, about like, would USC ever leave? But you weren't talking about that actively going into 2022 until that report came out. So I think that's why he's ticked off, is that he had, I think he took people at their words for, yeah, we have an alliance here and yeah, we're committed to the Pac-12. And then he got slapped in the face a little bit twice with both of those areas. And now he finds himself trying to save a sinking ship.
All right, Spencer, it's been a pleasure talking to you, man. Where can people find you and your work in all of its variety?
Well, yeah, thanks for having me on, Josh. At @smalls_55 is my personal Twitter handle, and I host Locked On Ducks and Locked On Pac-12. Both shows are on YouTube and podcasts covering the Oregon Ducks, everything there, and the Conference of Champions. Plenty of this sort of talk on there. But yeah, Josh, it was great to come on with you, and thank you for having me. And hopefully everybody out there was able to put up with me at least until now.
You guys can find Locked On Big 12 or wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube as well. You guys can find me at @JoshNeighbors_ and the show at @LOBig12. Spencer, it was a pleasure. I'm sure you and I will be doing this again sometime in the near future, maybe.
You know I'm down.